following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. As a current student athlete, I find myself wondering how someone like me can all of a sudden get paid for playing a college sport. If you have similar questions, I will be breaking down the ins and outs of the new college name, image, and likeness rules to keep you up to speed on everything happening in this new world of college sports. Welcome in, everyone. You are listening to DJ Parsh, and this is episode 6 of Transfer Season. So last week I talked about which coaches and how these coaches are using name, image, and likeness to get the best recruits, whether it be from high school or the transfer portal. And then I also talked about how international students are getting the raw end to the name, image, and likeness deal, and how the NCAA should really look at some of the rules put in place right now and change some rules as to benefit international students for the future. So this week, I wanted to talk more about which sports specifically and which conferences are benefiting the most from name, image, and likeness, and which athletes in those sports and conferences are gaining the most name, image, and likeness revenue, and then connect that to some of the disparity going on among name, image, and likeness deals and college sports as a whole. So over the weekend, I was watching the round of 16 and the Elite Eight for the NCAA men's basketball tournament, and there were some decent games. It wasn't amazing, but it was still fun to watch. And when it was all said and over, the final four teams left in the semifinals of the tournament are Duke, Kansas, North Carolina, and Villanova. All blue blood schools. You can make the argument Villanova is not a blue blood school, but that's an argument for a different time. But all of these schools are, in their own right, true college basketball schools. And this reminds me how it is similar to college football in that the same schools are dominating whatever landscape it is they perform in, and really nothing has changed in the past 20 or so years regarding which schools are dominating their sports. And this brings me into which sports and which conferences are dominating the name, image, and likeness landscape thus far. So according to Yahoo Finance, the top five sports that earn the most revenue in college athletics, this is not from name, image, and likeness, this is just from TV and or radio partnerships. The top five are football at $31.9 million just in the last year, followed by basketball, a steep drop off to $8.1 million. So you can still see how football is really dominating the college sports landscape. In third is hockey at $2.5 million. Following that is baseball at $1.25 million. And then coming in fifth is track and field at $1.17 million. And kind of going deeper into that, according to Open Doors, which is a company who helps athletes monetize and grow their brands, it was revealed that athletes in the Big Ten, so this would include schools like Ohio State, Michigan, Purdue, Indiana, they have taken full advantage of name, image, and likeness, and because of that, they have earned the most money from NIL deals. So athletes who play for or who go to school in the Big Ten, who go to school, like I said, Ohio State, Michigan, those schools, they are earning the most NIL money so far. And following the Big Ten is the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference. So schools like Clemson, Duke, North Carolina, and Miami. And coming in third is the SEC, which is the Southeastern Conference, such as Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, and Florida. So I just named some of the bigger schools in these conferences because most likely this is where those athletes are attending school who are earning the most from name, image, and likeness. And all of this really makes sense because the top five states with athletes who have generated the most revenue from name, image, and likeness deals are Ohio, such as Ohio State University, Florida, such as University of Florida, Missouri, Texas, and Nebraska. And all of these schools are located within those three conferences I previously mentioned, being the Big Ten, ACC, and SEC. So moving on to the top athletes that have so far earned the most from name, image, and likeness revenue. The first coming in first place, which should come as no surprise, are football players. They took up almost over 60% of the total NIL money so far. Following them will come as a surprise to most people is women's volleyball. And I say this is a surprise because women's volleyball wasn't even in the top five of college sports that earn the most revenue from TV and radio deals that I mentioned earlier in the episode. So that is definitely a surprise to a lot of people. Although coming in third place, which should also not be as much of a surprise, is basketball, men's basketball, which is earning 9.7% of all NIL deals. And following men's basketball is women's basketball, which is earning 2.3% of all the NIL deals thus far. This, for the most part, makes sense when you look at the top revenue-earning sports in college athletics, with the exception, like I said, of women's volleyball. And the Washington Post actually took a closer look at this as to why women's volleyball athletes are earning so much more. And the brands that these volleyball players are working with, quote, aren't exactly being sneaky when it comes to leveraging sex appeal of female athletes. So that was a quote from the Washington Post after they did some more research into why exactly women's volleyball was gaining so much revenue from name, image, and likeness deals. So after researching all those statistics regarding name, image, and likeness revenue and which sports and which conferences are getting the most revenue from name, image, and likeness, it's no surprise that football comes out on top because football is the most popular sport in the United States. There's many statistical reports to back that up. So it's no surprise that they come in first. Basketball is also up there. And it's no secret that Division I Power 5 programs like USC, Miami, Ohio State, and Texas are getting the most opportunities to engage in name, image, and likeness activities. So if you're a top athlete and you go to one of these schools, you are going to get more and better opportunities to show off and promote your brand. And football being the most popular sport, as I said, in the United States, is generating more than half of the deals thus far. And that's only going to continue to happen because things like these don't just change overnight. It takes a long time for something like that to be able to change. And while it makes sense from a business standpoint to work with athletes who play the most popular sports like football and basketball, it doesn't always mean that they are the most deserving of all of these name, image, and likeness deals. And I say that because according to an ESPN article, the Washington State women's volleyball team, who have been to six straight NCAA tournaments, has had zero deals among the team. Washington State women's volleyball coach said, "I am not aware of anyone that has approached our players, and we are the most successful sport at Washington State." So once again, the lack of rules and the lack of regulations by the NCAA is hurting athletes and programs who deserve compensation for all of the hard work they put in day in and day out. it's not like these programs are taking days off or something like that. You know, they are putting just as much work into their sport as every other sport and every other athlete who are getting bigger and better opportunities to make money. And I say this because maybe if there were rules such as each program at every school must have at least one NIL deal before a team can have multiple, these sort of issues wouldn't arise. But the NCAA refuses to step in and put any sort of guidelines in place, and because of that, there is just a ton of disparity and a ton of dysfunction among which athletes and which sports are getting more opportunities to benefit from name, image, and likeness. And I understand that name, image, and likeness in college athletics is a very new system and new term that we have, but you would have thought that when the NCAA put the name, image, and likeness rule into place and made it so that athletes can earn revenue, you would have thought that they had some sort of guideline and some sort of rule structure that athletes were to follow, and it wouldn't be just this free-for-all for only the top 1% of college athletes. Because right now, while NIL is benefiting college athletes, it's not really benefiting everyone. You know, only, like I said, the top 1%, maybe a little more, but very few college athletes are actually benefiting from the NIL rule. Whereas if there were actual guidelines and rules put in place from the NCAA, this would it would flow much better. There would be much less disparity among all of the sports at these schools. Like, for me, I mean, I'm not getting deals from Gatorade or Dr. Dre Beats, you know? But for someone who's a top quarterback at one of the biggest schools in the country, of course they're going to get approached by big companies because they're more well known. And that's, yeah, that makes sense. I'm not a top football or basketball player that you see on SportsCenter every night. However, the point of name, image, and likeness is to benefit college athletes. And I feel that if it's only benefiting very few athletes who are going to be making millions of dollars anyways once they go pro, is it really benefiting every college athlete? Is it really being used to its fullest potential? I don't think so. However, obviously that's just my opinion. There are tons of other ways to look at this. This is just one of them. So, that concludes today's episode of Transfer Season. Next week is going to be super fun and super interesting. I'm going to be talking about which athletes have gotten the best deals, and I'm going to be talking about those deals in a more descriptive manner. And I'm also going to be talking about which college athletes from the past would have benefited the most from name, image, and likeness. So make sure you tune in next week. And thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Transfer Season.